meetings, discussions, reviews. First one thing and then another. There's never an end to them. How am I supposed to run this division when I don't even have time to plan for next week?
Well, that's that. Another day gone. Thank goodness. Now let's see. Tomorrow. The project planning session, the board review at 11, lunch with Mr. Carter. Anne wants to talk about the Pringles layout. John's games at 6. Oh, no, that won't work. I guess I'll just have to look at the shots tonight after the show.
Uh-oh. Looks like I did it again. I should have called at National when I was out at Compaq. Now, why didn't I think of that? I might have been able to follow up in that order with Erickson. Shoot. Well, I'll just have to get out there again.
Sorry, can't go. I've got to get this done, Sally. I've been putting it off for weeks. Jim down in accounting wants the numbers this afternoon, and it's been so long. I can't for the life of me remember what I was supposed to do with these forms.
What do these people have in common? Hectic schedules? Can't think or plan ahead? Too much going on at the same time? Doing things the wrong way? You probably knew the answer right away. These people are scrambling for time. And yes, they've got hectic schedules. They're unable to think ahead, and they're spreading themselves too thin. In short, they're doing things the wrong way. And most of us can relate to them. We all know that time is limited, that a day's work has to be accomplished in the same finite 24 hours we each have. Some of us do it. Most do some of it. Some others procrastinate, and some never get around to it. Those who get things done and do them well know the right way, and that's time management. In How to Master Your Time, The Special Art of Increasing Your Productivity, achievement expert Brian Tracy teaches you all the right ways of accomplishing whatever you set out to do. Today, effective time management is a prime concern, not just of top executives, but managers, salespeople, teachers, business leaders, politicians, parents, just about anyone who aims for maximum productivity in his or her professional and personal life. And Brian Tracy knows what he's talking about. He's one of America's leading authorities on the development of human potential and personal effectiveness. He heads two human resource companies, Brian Tracy Learning Systems and the Institute for Executive Development, and speaks all over the world on leadership, success psychology, and time management. Hundreds of corporations and thousands of people have benefited from Brian Tracy's dynamic, success-oriented techniques. And now you too can join the ranks of these peak performers. Learn how to handle meetings, overcome procrastination, and establish priorities. There's something here for everyone. If you're a manager, you'll know about the fine points of delegation, how to manage large projects, and little details. If you're a salesperson, you'll find these time management techniques make clinching the sale that much easier and faster. And if you're someone who's just looking for ways to be more productive, you'll pick up a whole host of time-saving ideas. From setting goals to making the most of your day and your life. And now, Nightingale Conant is proud to bring you 6 hours of life-enhancing listening with Brian Tracy's How to Master Your Time.
Hello, I'm Brian Tracy, and welcome to this program on time management. Throughout the ages, the greatest minds of all time have dedicated themselves to answering the question, how shall we live in order to be happy? Sigmund Freud, the father of modern psychology, said that the primary motivation of human beings is the pleasure principle, the constant striving toward the things that make us feel good about ourselves and our lives. In the final analysis, we all want to be happy, and we spend most of our lives searching for the combination of lifestyle ingredients, relationships, work, sports, hobbies, and other activities that will give us a deep-down feeling of happiness and well-being. This program on time management is designed to give you hundreds of valuable ideas you can use to organize your life and activities so that you can get the things that you want and need to make you happy. Time management can be viewed as a tool with which you can build a great life marked by high achievement and a tremendous feeling of satisfaction and accomplishment. Time management can be looked at as a vehicle that can carry you from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. Time management can be seen as a set of personal disciplines that, once mastered, will enable you to be, have, and do anything you want to achieve whatever successes in life that give you the greatest pleasure and happiness. This program is the result of 7 years of research and teaching and is based on my 20 years of experience in sales, marketing, management, and consulting to more than 300 corporations. The more I studied success and successful people, the more obvious it became to me that they all had one thing in common. They all placed a very high value on their time, and they continually worked at becoming better and better organized and more efficient. I've now come to the conclusion that no success is possible without excellent time management skills. I've also discovered that when you develop the discipline of time management, you will be simultaneously developing the habits that lead to high achievement, wealth, and success in every area of your life. The starting point of developing good time management skills is for you to realize and accept that time management is really life management. As Benjamin Franklin pointed out, "Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of." I've designed this program to give you everything you'll ever need to know about time management for your personal life and your career. As you listen, think about how you can apply some of these ideas immediately. Make notes, and remember the importance of spaced repetition to learning. You will need to listen to these tapes about 6 times before you memorize and internalize these ideas. After that, however, you'll be set for a lifetime of increased personal efficiency and high achievement. So let's begin with what I call the psychology of time management. The starting point in becoming excellent at time management is desire. You must sincerely desire to get your time and your life under control. And here are 4 good reasons for practicing what you learn in this program. Reason number 1 is you will gain at least 2 productive hours per day. So ask yourself, what would you do, what could you do, if you had 2 extra productive working hours per day? 2 hours per day times 5 days per week times 50 weeks per year works out to 500 extra productive hours per year. 500 hours is more than 12 40-hour weeks, or 3 extra months of 40-hour weeks. Just think what you could do with all of that extra time devoted to your career or to something else. The second reason for practicing what you learn in this program is that your income will increase by at least 25% over the next year, which means 2 hours out of 8 equals 25%. You see, time is money. And what you're earning today is what you're being paid as a result of what you're producing today. If you increase your productivity by 25% or more, you must eventually earn and be paid 25% more. And if your current boss won't pay you, some other boss will come along and pay you. The third reason for practicing this material, and as important as anything else, is you'll have more energy and less stress. You'll have a greater sense of control. Psychologists in the last few years have worked and done an enormous amount of research on what they call locus of control, which says that you feel positive and enthusiastic about yourself and your life to the degree to which you feel it is under your own control, and you feel negative and stressed to the degree to which you feel you are out of control or controlled by external circumstances. So the better a time manager you are, the greater the sense of control you have, the greater the sense of well-being, and the more energy you have and less stress. Now, the fourth reason is that you'll have more time for your family, more time for your friends, for relaxation, for personal and professional development, and anything else you want to do. You can use the extra time to run a marathon, to complete a college degree, to write a book, build a business, or even to build an outstanding life. However, in my experience, there are 3 main psychological barriers to becoming excellent at time management. The first is that some people believe that it's too cold and too calculating to be organized and efficient all the time. They feel that you lack spontaneity. But the fact of the matter is that people who are disorganized are not spontaneous. They're merely confused, frantic, and in many cases under a lot of stress. The fact is, the better organized you are, the more time and opportunity you have to be truly relaxed, truly spontaneous, truly happy. Now, the second psychological barrier to learning good time management skills is negative programming by your parents and by other influential people, especially when you're growing up. If your parents or others told you that you were a messy person, or that you were always late, or that you never finish anything you start, when you become an adult, you may still be operating subconsciously on the same patterns. You may find yourself being a messy person and saying to yourself and saying to others, "Well, that's the way I've always been." The fact is that nobody is born messy, or neat and efficient, that time management and personal efficiency skills are things that we learn, and if we learn bad habits, we can replace them and learn good habits. The third psychological barrier to good time management skills is what we call a negative self-concept or self-limiting beliefs. Many people believe that they don't have the ability to be good at time management. Many people believe that it's just part of their background. But let me tell you this, there's no gene or chromosome for poor time management. Nobody is genetically poor at time management. In fact, I can give you a very simple example. If someone were to offer you $1 million to be an excellent time manager and to be tremendously well organized for 30 days, I'll bet you could be very, very efficient at time management if the incentive or the motivation were high enough. That simply proves that time management skills and time management behaviors are a matter of choice. First of all, you have to learn what to do, and then you have to do them over and over again until they become automatic. To overcome these psychological blocks to learning time management skills, the first thing you must do is to make a decision to become excellent at time management. You must make a decision right here and right now that you are going to become personally an expert in time management skills. And here are a series of psychological techniques that have been proven over the years to be very, very effective in developing the subconscious patterns of excellent time management. The first of these skills for programming your subconscious mind is called positive self-talk or affirmations. Now, affirmations are commands that you either say out loud or say to yourself with emotion that are driven into the subconscious mind as new operating instructions. In our program, The Psychology of Achievement, we go into this in great detail, but let me give you some examples of affirmative commands that you can use to improve your time management efficiency. First of all, repeat to yourself over and over again, I am excellent at time management. I am excellent at time management. Any command repeated over and over again in a spirit of faith, acceptance, and belief will eventually be accepted by the subconscious mind, and then the subconscious mind will organize your words, actions, and behaviors to be consistent with the command. Another command that you can use is, I am always punctual for my appointments. I am always punctual. Or, I am well organized, or I am a well organized person. Or you can say, I concentrate easily on my highest payoff tasks. I concentrate easily on my highest payoff tasks. Or here's the one that I use most of the time. I use my time well. I use my time well. I use my time well. If you repeat this over and over again, eventually you'll find that your external behaviors will start to become consistent with your internal programming. The second technique that you can use to program your subconscious mind is to visualize. Remember, the subconscious mind is activated by mental pictures. So see yourself as well-organized, efficient, and effective. Get the feeling of efficiency and effectiveness. Recall excellence. Think of a time when you were really working at your very, very best, and play the picture of yourself at your very best over and over on the screen of your mind. In athletic training, they call this mental rehearsal, which means practicing in your mind before you do it on the outside. The very best time to do this, of course, is late at night, just before you fall asleep. See yourself functioning smoothly, efficiently, effectively, in a well-organized manner during the course of the following days, and feed that picture into your subconscious. A third technique you can use to program your subconscious mind is to act the part. What we say is assume the role or act the part of an actor who is already extremely good at time management. Act as if you are already using your time efficiently and well. Pretend that you are an expert in time management. We always say, fake it until you make it. Fake it until you make it. You see, if you pretend that you're excellent in time management, eventually the action which is under your control will develop the mindset or the belief in your subconscious mind that is consistent with it. The fourth technique you can use for programming your subconscious mind is called modeling, which means to pattern yourself after someone you know who uses his or her time well. Think of someone you admire for good time management skills. Use that person as your standard or as your model. Imagine what he or she would do in any given situation and then do it yourself. Many of the most effective men and women in America have become that way in their earlier days by modeling themselves after someone who is extremely effective, someone whom they admired very much. You always tend to become on the outside what you most admire in other people. Now, a fifth technique for programming your subconscious mind is to imagine that you're going to be teaching a course in time management 1 year from today. This is a technique from the research on super learning, or what is called accelerated or whole brain learning. What they found is that if you learn material, and as you're learning the material, you think simultaneously about how you would teach it to other people, that you seem to learn it and internalize it far faster than if you just think of learning it and using it yourself. So as you're taking in this information, think of how you would teach this to someone else. Remember, there's a principle that says you become what you teach. And if you want to take this one step further, when you learn new ideas on this program, think of who you could share this information with and then go and do it. Any information that you share with someone else becomes yours permanently. The sixth technique that you can use to program your subconscious mind to be excellent in time management is to lead by example. Imagine others are looking up to you as an example of excellence in time management. Imagine that you are setting the standard in your company or your organization, that everybody is looking to you for what they should personally do. What would you do differently? How would you carry yourself? How would you organize your time if you felt that everybody was looking up to you to set the standard? We find that if you look upon yourself as an example, you'll always tend to do and be better than if you just look upon yourself as trying to be more efficient for yourself alone. As you think about yourself as an excellent time manager, that is exactly what you become. Now, another part of the psychology of time management is the discovery by psychologists that self-esteem is the core quality of a healthy personality. Self-esteem means how much you like and respect yourself. Everything that we do is to somehow protect or enhance our feelings of value and importance. Everything we do, all of our behaviors and actions and reactions, revolve around protecting our own sense of self, our own feeling of importance and personal value. And since self-esteem, that feeling of liking and respecting yourself, is the essence of success, it's the essence of being really together as a human being, there are three factors that affect your self-esteem that have to do with time management. The first is your values. Living your life consistent with your innermost convictions is essential to self-esteem. And that takes us to the question, how much do you value your life? You see, people who really value their lives, people who really value themselves, use their time well. And surprisingly enough, because of what is called the law of reversibility, people who really use their time well tend to value themselves even higher. So the very act of living your life consistent with your values and using your time effectively and well builds your self-esteem and causes you to feel better about yourself. Now, the second factor that affects your self-esteem is mastery, is a feeling of competence and personal effectiveness and self-control. In other words, you feel good about yourself and you like and respect yourself to the degree to which you feel you are good at what you do. Everything that you learn about time management and apply in your work causes you to feel more in control, causes you to feel more effective, causes you to feel more productive, and causes your self-esteem and your feelings of well-being to go up. And the third factor with regard to self-esteem is your goals and activities, which means organizing your goals and your activities and your daily plans of action so that they are consistent and congruent with your values and your abilities, doing the things that you feel that are right and the things that you feel that you are good at. So these are the keys. The psychology of time management means living your life consistent with your innermost values, mastering what you do and doing it effectively and well, and making sure all of your goals and activities are congruent with your values and your abilities. And if you do that, you'll find that by practicing good time management techniques, you feel terrific about yourself on an ongoing basis. Here's an important observation. The quality of your life is largely determined by the quality of your time management. Let me repeat that. The quality of your life is largely determined by the quality of your time management. And here are 12 principles for good time management. Principle number one, time management enables you to increase the value of your contribution. Self-esteem comes from the knowledge that you are putting in, that you are contributing more than you're taking out. So the greater your feeling of making a valuable contribution to your life and to your company and to your family, the greater is your self-esteem. And time management enables you to greatly enhance that feeling of making a contribution. Principle number two, your rewards, both tangible and intangible, will always equal the value of your service to other people. The more you put in, the more you get out, by the law of sowing and reaping. Time management enables you to sow more and better, and therefore to reap more and better in every area of your life. Now, the third principle of time management, and this is a mental concept, is to see yourself as a factory. Now, a factory has three areas of activity. It has, first of all, inputs: time, labor, money, resources. And you can imagine a conveyor belt bringing these resources into the factory. Inside the factory, there are activities that take place, things that are done to produce the product. And out of the factory comes outputs. Now, the whole purpose of working is to increase the quality and quantity of the outputs. You realize that you're not on the payroll to work on the inputs or to concentrate on the activities, but to focus on the outputs. So good time management insists that you always ask, what outputs are expected of me? What am I expected to produce? Not what am I expected to do, but what am I expected to produce? The purpose of time management is to enable you to increase the quality and quantity of your outputs, of what you get paid for. Now, the fourth principle is that your levels of achievement and performance both depend on your ability to use your time to its best advantage. You cannot increase the quality and quantity of your achievement or your performance except to the degree to which you increase your ability to use your time effectively. The fifth principle is that time is the scarcest resource of accomplishment. In fact, in America today, the greatest of all poverties is time poverty. People have money, but they don't have time. We're short of time in almost every dimension of our lives. Time is inelastic and inflexible. Time is indispensable. No achievement is possible without it. All accomplishment requires time. Time is irreplaceable. There is no substitute for time. And time is perishable. It cannot be saved or preserved or stored. Once gone, it is lost forever. The sixth principle is that time management develops judgment, foresight, self-reliance, and self-discipline. These are the qualities of leadership and character, the ability to get things done. The seventh principle is that time management makes you result-oriented, which is the key quality of peak-performing men and women. The eighth principle is that time management enables you to work smarter, not just harder. Many people who are failures work harder than successful people, but they produce less because of poor personal and time management skills. Principle number nine is that good time management is a source of energy, enthusiasm, and a positive mental attitude. The more productive you feel you are, the more positive you feel about yourself and your life. Principle number 10 is that you grow as a person according to the demands you place on yourself. The self-discipline of time management builds character, confidence, and an unshakable belief in yourself and your abilities. Principle number 11 is that lasting motivation only comes from achievement. The more you get done, the better you feel, and the more eager you are to do more. And principle number 12 is, now, this minute, is all the time you have. If you manage yourself, minute by minute, the hours and days will take care of themselves and will translate into a great life, hallmarked by purpose, power, control, and worthwhile accomplishments. Here are seven ways to help you develop the habit of time management. Number one, remember your self-image determines your performance. So see yourself as you wish to be. You can change your self-image by repeatedly visualizing yourself as you wish to be, excellent in time management and personal management skills. Number two, new habit pattern formation takes 21 days of practice. It takes this long for the subconscious mind to accept the new commands, the new pictures, and the new affirmation, the new operating instructions for your personal behavior. So be patient. The third key to becoming an excellent time manager is to promise yourself that you're going to become excellent at time management, that you're going to be punctual, that you're going to concentrate on your highest value tasks, and then promise others. Promising others helps you make a firm commitment to improving your time management, because now you know that they're watching you to see if you're going to fulfill your promise. The fourth thing that you can do to develop the habit of time management is to start in just one area where poor time management is holding you back. Don't try to change everything at once. Change just one thing, one area where poor time management is getting in your way, and you'll find that working on one area will tend to spread and affect all of your other areas simultaneously. Number five, launch your new habit strongly. Never allow an exception once you've decided that you're going to be punctual for every appointment, that you're going to fulfill every commitment, that you're going to Work from a list every day, as we'll talk about later in this course. Never rationalize or justify slacking off. Stay with it until the new habit is firmly entrenched. Number 6, use the trial and success method rather than the trial and error method. The trial and success method means that you learn how to succeed by failing and by learning from your mistakes. Analyze your reasons for poor time management. Step back and look at the areas in your life where your time is the most poorly managed and ask yourself, why is this happening? What are the obstacles to my operating more efficiently in these areas? Take some time to reflect and think about what you're doing. And the 7th key to developing the habit of time management, and perhaps the most important of all, is to absolutely believe that you can and will become outstanding at time management. We know from our research into what we call the law of belief that there's a one-to-one relationship between your beliefs and your realities. If you believe that you can and will become excellent at time management, and you hold that belief long enough and hard enough, it will become true for you. Time management is a skill, like typing or riding a bicycle. You or anyone can develop it with practice and repetition. Time management is your key to personal effectiveness, to self-esteem, to self-respect, and to greater personal productivity and happiness. Time management is your key to the future.